I guess I'll start off by saying that I work for a grower organization and the Soybean Association, and they conduct a lot of on-farm research. And in general, they invest millions of dollars each year with a state land grant as well as with other universities. But at the same time, they also want to do a lot more on-farm research, and they want to get more direct answers for the growers. So when we talk about an online tool for fungicides, in general in the fungicides, we've seen a big increase in usage in Iowa. The threat of soybean rust brought a lot of the fungicides to market for soybeans. We didn't see a lot of the Asian rust. But after the fungicides were there, a lot more people were questioning, how do we use it? How do we get it off the shelves and everything? At the same time, we now have very frequent spraying for the soybean aphids. So in the fields, we have growers that are already set up with spray equipment to spray through the fields. So the common question is, should a grower apply a fungicide? There's plenty of research showing that fungicides can increase soybean yields. When you go out with different studies, what's the best time, what's the best one, what are your odds? Most things document a number. Most things say yes or no, there's an effect. And what the growers really want to know is, will it pay for them? And so what I want to talk about is a tool that we use to try and answer that question, but I want to spend a few slides just explaining what went into this calculator. We do a lot of on-farm trials, and this is just an aerial view of one of the trials where growers can very easily go out with their equipment. In this case, they sprayed the entire field except for six strips. Most of the growers now in Iowa have yield monitors, so they can record yields. Most application equipment, they can track where they spray. So it's really easy to collect a lot of data. So we collect a lot of information just to find out, this grower can find out in their field, did it pay yes or no? But we can combine these trials. We can do lots of different types of testing. So if we pull out just the data that we have looking at the headline, fungicide applied to soybeans, for a five-year interval, we had 282 of these replicated trials successfully completed in Iowa. That means each site had at least three replications. So this isn't half a field, it's not one field to another. At least three successful reps in the field. We had aerial imagery on. We spent quite a bit of time trying to vet the data, you know, were they harvested at the same time, were there stand issues, other things in there. We've done with other products, times and application, but this is just looking at 282 sites over a five-year period. This gives a general description of a map layout of where they were. But based on that data, we could use that to find out a number of things. And a lot of the questions that came out at first was, how much was it affecting the moisture of the grain? And a lot of the test trials, often for soybeans, are harvested early. So a lot of people try and get the beans first. They don't wait till the end. So moisture differences are clearly documented. But when we looked at the combines and the yield monitors and what they were doing, we looked at it over the years. Statistically, we saw a difference most years, but it was pretty negligible. By the time the growers were actually able to get in and harvest their fields, when they really do, the beans had already dried down enough we weren't seeing a difference. Same time, when you look at the combine speed, everyone says, oh, it's going slower. You know, the green stems, the wetter grain, it was really affecting the combine. When we track the actual combine speeds in these trials, yes, statistically there is a difference, but it was a tenth of a mile an hour. So when you look at that, if you assume a 70-acre field with a 30-foot platform, 4 mile an hour, that's only about a 5 to 7 minute difference for a 7-acre field. This is all interesting to growers, but it didn't affect what they did at all. So I had to tell you, they want to know, did it pay? What are their odds? So if we go in and look at the actual yield differences in these sites, it's the number of trials by year. We get the yields. We can talk about the average difference, or, you know, what's the median response for the year. We try and get growers to talk more about the median response, not the average, because it is a skewed distribution. What percentage of the trials that year were profitable? And this is where we really got into a lot of problems, because when we talked about the percentage of them, we had to make an assumption on the price, both for the soybeans, as well as the price for what's the product and application cost. And the way things changed a lot, we had a much bigger difference with the pricing differences in the crops and inputs than we did the yield differences. The data didn't change that much, the economic scenarios did. So when he put this in, our own board just kept talking about it and arguing, well, that's the wrong number. What about this one? Can you do this for the table? So finally I said, okay, can you just turn around and build something that we can use the real data and look at the probabilities but plug in our own pricing scenarios? So how do we take that data and use that to calculate that? If we look at the data we have from the different years and we plot it as a cumulative probability of the yield response by year. So for each of the years, this is the number of sites. We can see what is the yield response and calculate a probability on that. So half of our sites, the 50%, we can get some idea. Is that a 2-bushel response? You know, at 50%, it'd be, for this site, it'd be a little over 2, this one a little less. We can look at that. Based on this, we can calculate the probability. So we went from the tables of saying, okay, price your own. We say the average response or median response across all these trials was 2.1 bushel. Look up your own table, the different scenarios. To go in online to say, okay, put in your own price. You think you're going to have $13 beans or $7 beans, whatever it is. Same with your direct cost. What is the fungicide and application cost? I say a lot of the growers, they're already going to spray for aphids anyway, so their cost may not be anything in the way they consider it anyway, if they're spraying anyway. We can do that, and when you hit the calculate, we give them the chart showing the probability. So based on their economic scenario, so let's say it's $13 a bushel and 18 product and application cost, break-even cost would be somewhere around 1.3. And the probability based on this, we'd have, looks like about almost 70% of the sites would yield at least that amount. So we have a probability of getting an economic response. As you can imagine, this is not real farmer friendly. We give them the graph. So what our board asked for is saying, okay, make it simple. So the first thing is that when they put in their scenario based on their own economics, 1.4 bushel would be the break even with a $13 soybean bushel price and 18 product and application. So that's a break even. This is the probability of exceeding that direct application cost on that scenario. So 68% means it's favorable. The expected average profit above the direct application cost would be 930. The range of which half of the data would fit into would be between a $5 loss to a 26-20 thing. And then based on the breakout over 5 years, how many of those 5 years would you expect to be profitable? So this gives them some idea rather than saying the average is 2.1, based on all the variability in the data, based on everything, what are the odds and what are the economics? If we look at a different scenario, I kept the product and application cost the same, but if we look at $5 a bushel price, which is about what it was when we started these trials, break-even cost would be about 3.5 bushel. We only had a little over 20% of the sites that did that. So we look at the results, 3.6 is break-even, only a 22% probability of exceeding the cost. Expected return, loss of 750, the range, half of the time we would expect to be within the range of a loss. We would anticipate 0 to 5 years to be profitable. All of the data to do this, we actually summarize it so that it's more than just a black box. Having a calculator, there's all kinds of calculators out there that just spit out numbers and you have no idea what goes into it. So one of the things we think is really important is to summarize what was the weather events, what are some descriptive statistics of the whole database. So on the calculator, there's actually a link that links right to that site. So you can see it this way. So you have some idea of what are some of the basic statistics of the database it's based upon. But then at the same time, Every one of those sites has a individual report. So this is a standardized report for trial. So you can see an aerial imagery of the site. You have a map showing the treatment locations so that the gray is all of the yield monitor data, if we have yield monitor. It's color-coded as to what is the actual data used for that treatment. There's the basic information, and this isn't blown up enough, but you can see when was it applied, what crop stage, what rate, was this, you know, the variety. Core basic information. The general yield map, what was the average combine speed and grain moisture on that? At the same time, this is the yield for each one of the strips from north to south or east to west, depending on the thing. So you can see what is the actual yield by rep and then actually a breakout by soil types. So as we go through this, the organization I work for is very much against black boxes. But the idea of getting real data so other people can use it and see the differences, I think it's important to calculate what are the odds, not yes or no. I think everyone knows fungicides can affect yield. But what are the odds for Iowa? So in summary, I guess I'd say the website tool provides a means of showing the true probability of a response with the economic that the grower wants to look at. This is important because the scenarios we're looking at, the economics play a difference. This isn't a clear case you should always do it or not always do it. We don't have good guidelines on when to use it. And the data used to drive the probability is, thankfully, publicly available and it can be scrutinized. So with that, if there's any time for questions.
Okay, definitely. We've got a couple of minutes for questions.
Yes.
So this data that you're based this calculator on, everything is being, the calculator is basically using the entire data set. Do you break it into cohorts at all, like zip code or soil type or anything like that? Or just using the whole data set?
Right now we're using the whole data set. Now this is segmented for just the one product.
Yeah. So how do you make sense out of that? How does a grower make sense out of when you're using the whole data set? It seems to me that be just too broad of a distribution to even, I mean, you're still using the mean and the standard deviation across that whole data set.
Okay. I guess I would respond a couple ways. One is we don't have data to prove there's a difference within the state. And second, most of the data these growers are given are actually across multiple states provided by the company. So we're giving them Iowa data. They can still look up by county the individual data if they want. There certainly can be, but it interacts with the environment and everything else. So if we can't prove how you subdivide it, we don't have any license to do that. We do provide the individual data, so growers can look by county, by year, and other things on it. We do break out things like application timing or product, which we do know there's a difference. That's why this is all headline application, and it's basically all R3 applications. We do have other things contrast in it. But at the end of the day, we don't have a consistent difference by genotype we can document. We do not have a consistent difference we can document by area of the state. We do have some genotypic, I mean, the Vista beans got clobbered. We have huge responses on those. We can see that.
Unfortunately, I think we're going to have to wrap things up there. Let's give Tracy a hand.